Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
From an eerie, deserted London where there's no one around. It's a wheezing, groaning sound. The only podcast in existence about the popular television sci-fi series Doctor Who. And today, we're walking with dinosaurs, which have invaded. It's invasion of the dinosaurs. Yeah. So, check yourself before you T-Rex yourself.
Nice.
Make sure you're wearing a clean Tricera top.
Oh.
And maybe go for a walk between episodes so you don't get a really sore ass. I'm Tom Neehan, and joining me are two men who were never afraid to grouse us up to the roses.
That's good.
They grouse us up to the roses. It's Mr. Paul Littrey and Mr. John Ray!
Hey! Who's this new character you've introduced? I like him a lot.
That's John Pertwee. Oh, spoiler alert. Yes. That's John Pertwee's criminal character,
God,
which he,
that's amazing, isn't it?
He embodies in this episode.
Utter chameleon.
I know!
What a chameleon of voice. Why is he just like that?
Incredible. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, hey, it's dinosaur time, which can mean only one thing. Paul, what was on TV that day?
Slim, Mr. Pickens, I'm afraid, gentlemen.
Oh, no.
It is Saturday the 12th of January, 1974.
That feels nice.
Lovely date and day.
Yeah.
Programs began on BBC One at 9 a.m. with Mary, Mungo and Midge.
Hey!
Now, I never saw Mary, Mungo and Midge. Isn't that set in a tower block?
Yes, I believe so.
And she's, like, perpetually alone with a dog and a... What's the other one?
A doll, I think.
Sounds quite sad.
It does.
Perpetually alone with a dog and a doll. I never watched it.
No, me neither.
Does it just gaze at the window, just going, I wish I could join in?
Just gaze at the window.
Let them in.
She throws gaze out of a window.
Oh, no,
and then the episode ends.
Yeah. Rolls in silence like when Adric died.
Adric's a window cleaner.
Yeah. If you could see what I could see when I'm killing dinos.
Nice. No, it'll be when I'm cleaning windows.
But he's tangentially linked to this episode, isn't he?
He is.
As we just established, he's Dinosaur Hitler.
He is Dinosaur Hitler.
Dinosaur Hitler. Possibly the worst thing you could ever encounter is a dinosaur Hitler.
Dinosaur Hitler.
Mind you, how can a T-Rex do an adequate Nazi salute?
You wouldn't know, would you?
With its arms.
Tiny little arms.
It'd be very camp, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm Dinosaur Hitler!
Are you mocking me, T-Rex? No, this is all I can do.
No, this is it.
I hear that flop.
T-Rex would definitely do the flop, flop.
No, I don't think a T-Rex would do that.
No,
I think that's more like the Triceratops.
T-Rex would be the fat Nazi, like, oh, we have to do this for Rene or we'll be shot.
I have to put cheese in our ears. That sort of thing, because there's no cheese back then.
No,
of course.
No. Well, that's a good frame of reference for later, isn't it?
Ooh, hello. Oh,
hello. Cheese in your ears.
Yes, that is very good, yes.
Yeah.
Also, they wouldn't, I mean, even a dinosaur wouldn't be able to make cheese, would it? Especially the T-Rex wouldn't be able to churn.
Really,
with its
wine
tiny
is
hands.
The main thing because you can stamp the grapes. That would be.
Oh
good,
yeah, they
it?
Could definitely do good wine.
Yeah,
and they'd be able to have motor cars because they just have to wait for some of them to die and turn into oil.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a hot bleak, isn't it? What car are you driving, Derek the T-Rex? My late wife.
It's a Nissan Doris.
So that was Mary, Mungo and Midge.
Yep.
After that was a Hair Bear Bunch.
Oh,
9:15.
Good children, classic children's telly.
Yeah.
Yes. But don't worry, the fun immediately ends because it's time for Zardanda, Spanish for Beginners.
Oh, nice.
Part 11.
Isn't that Tom Holland's girlfriend?
David Bowie's wife?
Her name was Zardanda, Spanish for Beginners.
That's her surname. She doesn't say it a lot.
I'm sure Dominic Holland will be in to claim some responsibility.
I hate my son's success. Yeah. Well done, Dominic.
I'll tell you what it's like. My son's bloody Spider-Man.
Mm. Yeah, and I hate that. Mm. Okie dokie. After Zarbander, do you want to learn more foreign languages?
Yes,
well,
please.
You can, because it's time for the Russian alphabet.
Ooh.
A course for absolute beginners. We're absolute beginners.
Mm. I imagine you'd get to a letter that's...
Glasnost.
Yeah, that's bad for the regime, and then you'd get shot in the head and replace you immediately.
What I reckon it is, from my experience, is someone walks on with our alphabet, the English alphabet, and just takes the capital R, turns it the wrong way around, and then walks off, and that is it. And then that is the Russian alphabet. You're welcome.
Yep.
And mic drop.
Yeah.
But it's the word mic drop.
That's his name.
Mm-hmm. Hello, welcome to Russian for Beginners with me, Mic Drop.
I like him.
And his brother Cough.
Yeah.
Oh,
very good.
Oh, that sounds like a Russian name, Brother Cough.
Brother
it
Cough.
Really does.
Brother Cough drop.
Watch Cough Russian with only one testicle. Ujinikabalakov. After the Russian alphabet, of course, for the absolute beginners, but 11. It was grandstand, bloody grandstand from 12 till 5.
12 till 5.
5 hours of that. News and then Doctor Who, Invasion of the Dinosaurs, part of the first. There is a write-up for you, Thomasy! Here we go. The Doctor and Sarah return in the TARDIS to present-day London.
Correct.
But are mystified when they find the city is deserted.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, I'm definitely watching that.
I did.
Yeah, are we about to prove it?
Yeah. And just as you're getting over the first episode going, well, that can't get any bloody better, on comes... It's Brucey's Generation Game.
The British Yoda.
The British Yoda.
Oh, I'm sorry, listeners, you're not getting the full benefit of that impression. Which is, it's an audiovisual
like a
treat.
Sort of medieval homunculus.
But it has to be the canon that we've established. These are very, very vindictive blackmailing.
Very vindictive man was Bruce.
All right, my love, will you be on Sunday at the Palladium?
I think unless you want the pictures leaked, then I'll be at the Palladium.
Do you reckon just before you went on air, you go to Anthea, if she fat this up?
I'll slit your throat.
I'll slit your throat. And action. She's like, fucking
your throat, I'll slit. I'll slit your throat.
A eulogy at your funeral, I'll give. A funeral eulogy, I'm gonna kill you.
He harvested catchphrases.
He's
like
harvested organs.
Yeah, he was like a catchphrase Smaug, wasn't he?
Just man was a catchphrase magnet, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he even did that one for You Bet, which was a banger.
What was that one?
He went a bit of bed on it. You bet. You went a bit of bed on it. You bet. Don't sweat. Get set. You went a bit of bed on it. You bet.
That's holy moly.
I'd say he's overworked that.
Yeah.
It's not got the clean clippiness of a nice CC nice.
Jolly dealing. Jolly dealing. But the one that always like really was, if you like things that come in pairs, take a look at my creviers.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, gross. Dear. And then if you don't get two from bed, was it? You don't get two in a bed. Not in this game.
Yeah. And then, if you like things that come in peaches, Timothy Chalamet on the beaches.
Nice.
There we go.
Nice.
If you like things near a rhombus. Oh, shit. I'm back myself into a corner here.
You like things that come on, ladies. You'll love this bukkake.
Oh, Brucey.
Anyway, that was Brucey. Sometimes you just got to get it out.
He also, by the way, turned fondue set into a round of applause, didn't he? Because he'd go, the fondue set. And they'd all go,
hey. A fondue set. That's how he spoke in general.
That's how he spoke.
How are you, Bruce? I'm fine. I'm sure we've spoken about the documentary many times, Being Bruce Forsyth. If you've ever got a chance, do watch it. The island that he lives on. There's no cars there. They all have golf buggies. And in the morning, you see him making his open like in Tupperware. And then he's got this exercise regime where he just spins in a circle. It's just so funny. My favourite bit, he's in the golf buggy. And apologies if I've said this before. Mm. He's in a golf buggy and someone overtakes him and he goes, Road dog! 11 miles an hour.
So, I mean, obviously, Brucey was just on telly forever, so he must have been very rich. Mm. Is he island rich? I didn't know he was island rich.
Island rich, yeah. Island and rich. Also, he took it all with him to the grave.
He was Mr. Saturday Night in prime time when they were getting like 20 million viewers. Geez.
And he was kind of that for like 30 years, wasn't he? Just king of... Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Sadly, no write-up for Brucey's Generation Game. But I think we gave it a lovely write-up.
We did give it a lovely write-up.
Yeah. After that was Scylla.
Oh!
Ah!
Sill. Ah.
And then there was nothing of note. It was Match of the Day, and then it closed down. I mean, it was pathetic on BBC God. One. Let's move on to BBC Two. Mm. Programmes began ear-crashingly late at 3 p.m.
Oh, dear.
Jesus H. Corbett. You're just watching BBC Two, just watching static. With Saturday Cinema.
Oh.
Destination Moon.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, a group of wealthy American industrialists finance a private venture to the moon.
Oh, that's predicting.
Yeah. Is that like, we're going to get to the moon, we're going to put a hotel there? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm the man who owns Amazon Senior.
Mm.
Jeff Bezos Senior.
Yeah.
I liked it so much, I bought the company.
Is that George Foreman?
No, that's, what's he called? Well, he was the shaving guy.
Yeah, Vincent, no.
Vincent Cassell, no.
No.
Vincent Price.
Bangkok. It was Remington, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's him. I like this so much, I bought the fucking company!
You see the end of every advert.
Really? Yeah.
I like this so much, I bought the company.
Yeah. And then there's George Foreman saying, I liked it so much, I put my name on it.
I liked it so much, I put my dick in it. And he sizzles it.
And then Mr. T used to do one about,
did he?
Those ovens that... Mm. Combi ovens, what they're called. Put the turkey in. The little lump ovens. Convection ovens.
A convection
right.
oven.
And what would he do?
He used to do like an advert.
Don't
for
be
it
a
on,
sucker.
Like on QVC type thing. Oh, where could that turkey? It's so good.
I ain't getting it.
That wasn't me being racist. By that's just what he sounds like.
Yeah.
That was the impression of Mr. T.
Mr. T.
I ain't getting in no oven. Did he used to say that?
He did. He said, I ain't putting no turkey in no oven.
Yeah.
And then she'd give him a glass of milk and he'd pass out. Every and put the time. Turkey in the oven using
every
his
time.
Hands.
Never
and then showed back the video. Oh my God, I put the turkey in the oven.
Shit. He never wised up, did he, Mr. T, with the home? I'm not getting on no pain sucker. They go, liked, Mr. T, have a quiche.
Oh,
love a quiche.
He liked being unconscious, I think it was. Yeah. He had a kink for it.
That was it's probably his happy place.
His brother, Mr. Coffee, was terrible.
He was constantly on planes.
Yeah, he was.
Loved it. In fact, he never set foot on land. His entire life airborne.
Yeah.
Ain't getting on no land, bitch. That was his catchphrase.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was Match of the Day. No, sorry, that was Saturday Cinema.
Yeah. Saturday Cinema. Yeah.
Then it closed down again. Of course,
sure,
it fucking
exhausted.
Did. Yeah. Then it woke up again at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. with Man Alive.
Man Alive.
Man Alive. And the write up just says, Born to Fail? Question mark.
Oh. Aren't we all in a way?
Yeah.
Well, we're more dead than alive, aren't we? Yeah. After that was Goodies, Goody, Yum, Yum.
Which episode does it say?
It says the goodies are in France and go racing at Le Mans.
Probably on giant snails.
So Bill Oddie will be in the car going fast. Boom, chicka, da, da, woo. Brum, brum, brum. I'm going fast. Boom, chicka, ba, ba, boom.
Tim Brick Taylor will be festooned in Union Jacks.
Union Jacks. Yes, they'll get in the car, be a clown car, it'll just go boom.
And Graham Garden will turn up on a robot snail.
Robot snail that goes really fast.
Yeah, exactly.
The race easily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll somehow win the race by moving the lap.
Yeah.
The lap.
Track. Graham Garden will get off the track and he'll tear it in half like a Roadrunner cartoon.
Yes.
He'll run directly to the finish line really easily.
Yeah.
Gonna win, but there's a snag. There ain't no checkered flag. Bill did all the songs.
He did do all the songs.
Even if any of them went, do you mind if I fuck off? I'm doing the songs.
You're fucking welcome to it. I said I'd never do it.
Apologies if I've told this story before, but a friend of mine was friends with Bill Oddie's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
When they were young. And he said he went round her house after school once and walked in, and the house just stank of weed.
Yeah.
And he walked in the living room, and David Rappaport was playing drums, and Bill Oddie was playing the piano. They were both smoking big bifters.
It's a lovely gentleman's day, and they decided to cut an album that no one would listen to.
Love that.
When David Rappaport gets really stoned, does he just see a big face going, return the map?
Yeah. Definitely, of course.
Yeah,
dead David now, Rappaport. Of course. Yeah.
Star of Jigsaw with Sylvester McCoy.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And star of The Wizard. He's on an American TV show.
Oh, wow.
Regular appearee on Spike Milligan's Q.
He was also in an episode of Star Trek Next Generation, but didn't complete it when he died, so they had to replace him.
Oh, no.
That's a shame. Genuinely brilliant.
Did they just find his little feet hanging out the replicator?
Oh, no.
He died on set. Yeah.
Did he?
No. Dad in space.
Yeah. It's not like The Wizard of Oz, because that was a rumour as well, wasn't it?
Oh, there was a little person hanging in the background, but it was actually a bird.
Yeah.
That's been going for years, isn't it, that one?
Yeah.
Check out the 500 dead camels hanging off a lamppost. What are you talking about? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's also when they go, check out R2-D2 there on the big ship at the end of Spielberg's...
Oh, Close Encounters.
Every time and I never see it.
No.
Because it ain't there.
It's like there's a Millennium Falcon in the Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I can't see it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a TARDIS in Casualty. There isn't. I've looked.
But there is an E.T. in Phantom Menace.
There is
an E.T.
There's three of them, isn't there? Yeah, They're probably the delegates from that stupid planet.
And they're going, ah, blah, 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 blah. One assumes.
Yep. I assume they're all just giving them the glowy finger.
Yeah. Found home to this bitch.
Reverse the charges, bitch.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll be right here. Why are you touching my balls?
Do we ever establish if his finger was actually his knob? Because
he hasn't got a knob. No.
So that finger looks
hang
like
on,
a knob.
It might retract. Like his neck.
Like a turtle.
Mm. Yeah.
He might have eight knobs. We don't know. Touch him the wrong way and all these knobs come out of him.
Oh, no. Anyway, like one of those goalkeeper glove. Ellie and I have woken up one morning and seen him when you see a turtle trying to have sex with a shoe.
When he comes, his neck really extends.
Goes into the loft.
Comes up the chimney. Filth, absolute filth.
Me and my friends would have killed Elliot with hammers.
Yeah. Elliot, nice.
Yeah. Oh, I turned it round.
Tell you what, Tom Neen, he's the king of subversion.
Yeah.
He really is.
The queen of subversion.
Oh my God.
He's done it again. You just darrowed us.
Yeah.
Oh, holy moly. Anyway, that was the goodies.
Yep. The baddies.
Winning the race. Babadoo. Cars giving chase, wooden pool.
We laugh, but that genuinely could have been an
amazing. Yeah.
What we should do, we have suggested that on our Patreon we'll do just what was on TV that day, where we do actually, so we do that, and we work out what we think would happen in the goodies, and then we do watch it, and we do see how
I've got it all on DVD. I was given it as a present from the production company, because as you know, I used to own their bike.
Of course.
So I've really tried watching it. It's quite hard. First episode's got a picture of Sam Fox's breasts.
Oh my goodness.
And Jimmy Savile. That's the first episode.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
Go on. One is...
he's opened the window and he's in.
He's opened the window, he's in, but my God, he's on loose shingle.
One is a shocking thing to see in this day and age. And the other is Jimmy Savile.
Oh, he's subverted again. Can't take
it. You never know who you are with him. Good Lord.
After the end of the reckoning, where he just turned around and went, it was bloody great being me. Got so many complaints.
After the goodies was Opera Focus. Yeah. Cheryl Milnes, lovely name, talks to Bernard Levin.
Okay.
Yeah. I must bend you, Cheryl Milnes.
After Opera Focus was a preview to The Palaces with Susan Hampshire. Brand new series.
Preview to The Palace.
I think it ran for 40 episodes, a bit like Upstairs, Downstairs.
Do we think it was a drama rather than a documentary?
It is. It's based on an Anti Trollope book.
Oh, okay.
Because I've read The Palaces, I think. And it's one of those huge family epic stuff.
This is the preview to it, so it's like a trailer.
Yeah. It's a 40-part trailer. To a 70-part show. There's no write-up. It's just got... I love it when the Radio Times just give you a quote or, a bit of the conversation just out of context. So it says this. I think that I may say that I rode it hard to the very end.
Blimey.
The Palace's voice. Getting out in here, isn't it? After Opera Focus was My Soul, Our Soul.
What?
My Soul.
No.
Our Soul.
Oh my God.
My Soul, Our Soul.
Is it sung by Charlie Drake?
Is this a T-Ronnie's?
Oh, I love it. Hello, welcome to my soul, our soul.
Coming up next on the show, there'll be
my soul. The next our soul on my show.
Followed by our soul. Good night.
I think you'd all agree, ladies and gentlemen, he was an absolute arsehole. Anyway, it just says the final show of the series, so I'd like to know.
Bill Cotton.
I know what you guys
Bill Cotton.
Fern Cotton. I found out Fern Cotton is his granddaughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Fern Cotton. More fiction, please. More holiday fiction, please.
What is that what she does now?
Oh, she writes loads.
Oh.
Writes loads of it. Wow. Loads of it. And
good
then,
for her.
Good for her.
Bad for everyone else.
After My Soul, Our Soul was News on 2 and Closed Down. And that was your television delights of Beautiful World, Beautiful Pool.
As it looks over your notes, and you have actually written at the bottom, Slim Pickens.
Slim Pickens. I've guessing, also put an arrow towards it, just in case I don't see it.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing listeners to the next two episodes can look forward to the same thing.
Pretty much.
Oh, boy.
Good, good, good.
That was the most angry feedback I got, was people going, you don't need to do the TV when you split them up. And
yes,
I was like, we do. We absolutely do.
Yes, we do.
That's the rule. Yeah. We can come up with new riffs.
Otherwise,
also,
it's redundant.
If you don't like it, fuck off.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, hey. They're paying our ability to rent out.
Fuck on.
Fuck on.
Hey, that was my impression of Charlie from Casualty. Hey.
Hey. Hey.
But
why?
Why?
When you could be watching this. I've got a good one-word impression for you, by the way.
Go on.
I can do Denzel Washington.
Oh,
holy shit.
Saying okay. You ready?
Go on.
Okay.
Oh, that's very good.
That's not bad at all, is it?
Yeah.
Do it again.
Okay.
Do it again and look me square in the eyes when you do it.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
that's really
that's
good.
That's quite good, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's quite good. There you go.
Can you do it?
Okay.
No, go on then, do it.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
We begin in media res.
Hey, hey, media res.
And it's beautiful, deserted 70s London. I could watch B-roll of deserted 70s London forever.
Tell you what, after this, I went to YouTube and I found a very enthusiastic Who fan, shall we say, bless him.
Right.
Who went to all the locations and did a sort of wipe of then and now.
Oh nice.
It was beautiful.
Oh, well done.
I bet now it's all built up full of pop-up hummus stands and it's Palestinian marches, which is good.
Yeah,
a lot of it's been demolished.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The gherkin and the walkie-talkie and the bloody fax machine.
The middle finger and the kneecap and the parakeet's anus.
Houses of Parliament.
Yeah.
Houses of Poo-lament.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
That's what I call it, because they put so much poo in the
sea. Yeah. The poo they put in the sea.
Yeah.
We're in 70s London.
Can I just say, what a TARDIS materialisation.
Well, no, they're quite, I've got TARDIS materialisation. I was going to ask you about the TARDIS materialisation.
Oh, it is beautiful because it takes a little bit of time.
I think we already know
it invests. It's a beauty.
It's wonderful, isn't it? And also probably my favourite TARDIS exterior as well. I love this TARDIS exterior.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? It's not looking all battered to shit yet.
No.
It's looking lovely. Can we just talk slightly about the opening credit?
The shape of Pertwee as he goes down the time tunnel.
My favourite.
Looks a bit like Margaret Rutherford sometimes.
Without a doubt.
Is it your favourite?
My absolute favourite credit.
It's so funny that instead of it being that diamond vortex, it's now it's a Pertwee vortex.
Oh,
beautiful.
As he just gently fades. Oh.
Because I forget it exists. Because you go from the classic Pertwee, which is the sort of the red, like you say, the diamonds and the stuff, and then the circles, and then you've got this, and it's only there for one season.
Yes,
and
it's
gone.
Just,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
Blink and you'll miss it.
I mean, I think also this might be my favourite season of classic.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah. People are going to be angry because I think it's not that popular, but
Well,
I think Pertwee's my favourite Doctor. This is my favourite season.
Yeah.
Well, I'd even say, I think Pertwee is, he's having, because you know sometimes he can be a bit ratty and a bit grumpy. He's so playful in this.
He really is,
immediately, isn't
he's
he?
He's not giving anyone any mansplaining.
Also, Sarah Jane looks like she's in the best Britpop band. she really looks like she's about to do
Elastica covers.
She even gets the Brett Anderson leather jacket
she
on.
Looks
yeah.
So cool.
She looks so
and
cool.
She is so fucking cool in this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, okay, you can sort of see where we're headed with this one.
-3 Not enough dinosaurs.
No. B But yeah, because there's a crim. It's all very real at the start, isn't it? Because there's a crim.
It's very Threads.
I was just
very,
saying that. Stop stealing my words.
It's very Threads, and it's very David Triffids. There's something so good about empty London.
Yeah, 28 days later as well with old Oppenheimer looking around.
Yeah, going, with his willy out.
Yeah, Oppenheimer with his willy out.
Yeah, fun for the ladies there.
Yeah. Love
your old Barry Keoghan. Old Oppenheimer was there first with
exactly.
his willy out.
Yes, thank you.
Get with the
you know,
program. Mm.
Barry Keoghan's now posed on the front of Vanity Fair. In the nuddy. That's going to come back to haunt him, I think.
I'm so bored of him. Sorry, I am. He's just fucking. So everywhere you look, he's there.
Bored of his penis. Mm.
Got some stories for off air.
Oh, hello.
Nothing illegal. I think I need to say that, but yeah, some little. I love it some when we have a scutterbutt. Goss. A bit of scutterbutt.
Just to let everybody at home know, we do have a good old goss.
Oh, stuff we know about lots of people.
Yeah. It's like sometimes I just think, get this fucking podcast. Oh, actually,
I've got something really good as well about a comedian. Ooh,
So anyway, blah blah blah.
400.
Just see you later. What the correspondence? Oh, it looks rubbish.
Ben Thomas says, cock fanny, will he? And we're done.
No, Ben Thomas says he came back from holiday and his door wouldn't work.
Right, now we're off air. Yeah. I've got something rather risible about Pam Ayres. We're still on.
Right.
I love how when they appear in Empty London, the sound effects of birdsong are almost like deafening.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much birdsong.
A nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. That'll be later.
Well, no wonder it sang, because bloody Mankind, Man Cruel have gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so the crim nearly runs them over.
Yes.
And then they follow him into a jewellery store and he ransacks the jewellery store.
He does.
Yeah.
Then he leaves. Then he's involved in one of the most horrific car crashes.
Yeah. There's no one around. How's he done that?
No, a dinosaur does it. They hear the dinosaur and then they see the end result.
Smash. And then you see his bloodied corpse on the ground. It's horrible.
Apparently kicks it.
Yeah.
Serves him right.
Yeah.
Silly fool.
Also, I should say, in this story, he looks the most... How do I say this? Not in a bad way. I've been following Sean Pertwee on Instagram lately, and they are like proper doppelgangers for this point in time.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I look at him in this, and I'm like, God, you look exactly like Sean does now.
Wow.
He looks great in this as well.
I absolutely respect. Fantastic.
Beautiful
you
know, look.
Because Sean Pertwee's a brilliant actor in his own right. Yeah. Aside from that, if he did want to play his dad ever, I know he absolutely doesn't have to and everything else, but if
surely that memo's been going around the BBC, the John Pertwee story, he has to do it.
Well, even just like in a multi-doctor story, if you've got like David Bradley and you've got he's perfect. You know, I can understand someone not wanting to dress in their dead dad's clothes. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. So if he doesn't want to do that...
I can understand someone not wanting to shit on their own father's grave.
The agent ringing him now, Sean. I know you don't want to dress in your dead dad's clothes, but it's a good offer. It's BBC, Manny.
Yeah, come on.
What is the looter going to do with all the pearls and jewellery?
Yeah.
What's he going to do with it? Well, is he just going to dress up like an affluent lady of leisure? Walk around the Docklands?
As we know later on, he's going to drive out of London and
fence it.
Like maybe Plymouth.
Where I'm from.
There is a Swansea. Yeah.
You lied to me.
There is a Swansea.
Is that when she's eating the sandwiches that got feathers in them?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a horrible body. But then, maybe the one of the rare... It's just a taste thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. We cut to Unit, which does immediately sort of let us know things are okay. Because we see, like, Unit and stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, so London isn't completely fucked. Like, there's a... You know, the Brigadier's here. Something safe, something I can sort of cling on to. Mm. And we sort of find out that they're running the detention centres and that they're sort of... Martial law, basically.
Yeah.
And, is underway. The Doctor and Sarah find a Jeep that's parked.
Yeah.
And are sort of they're bothered by another crim, and the Doctor sort of gets hit.
But he gives them a good high.
He does. Love it. And then they're attacked by a pterodactyl.
Very small one.
Very small pterodactyl.
Very small one.
It's either that or they shaved Emu, burned him in a microwave, and he went on the loose. There's a giant rod hull.
Generous and say it was a baby pterodactyl.
A baby pterodactyl.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I think that it's filmed.
Some may say it might actually be a Pteranodon. just split hairs.
Okay.
In the same way that a lot of people say it's not a T-Rex, it's actually an Allosaurus.
Yes, because it's got, the T-Rex only had two fingers, this one's got three.
So it might be an Allosaurus.
So it could flip the bird.
That's right.
Yeah.
and the Allosaurus.
Thank God John showed us what that looked like. It didn't know.
Christian.
Yeah.
And the Allosaurus also was famously, they've discovered now in the fossils, made of rubber.
Yes.
I would say the pterodactyl is sympathetically filmed.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It's 1974.
Yeah, come on, guys.
I'm going to say it now.
Yeah.
Put my stamp down now.
Go on.
I love all the effects in this, and I think anyone who has a go at him is a prick. I think it's wonderful.
They're nailing it.
Anyone who disagrees is a Holocaust denier. Yeah. As far as I'm going to go.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
we're through the prism now of Jurassic Park and dinosaurs looking real. When I were little,
bearing
in mind I wasn't born at this point, but when I were little, dinosaurs looked like this in film and telly.
Also, cut to fucking 22 years later and Peter Davison has to deal with that six-legged fucking abysmal monster that comes crashing in the underground base.
Oh,
so fucking pathetic.
Yeah. What was he called?
What was that?
The Talon. What was he called?
The Murker.
Murker.
Yeah.
Murker, fuck yeah.
So that fucking I was fucking Industrial Light and Magic, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeez. I think it tells the story. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
It tells the story well enough.
And the sound effects make it work as well.
Yeah.
Hello!
So they smash through a gate.
Yes.
Yeah!
Doctor loves
that. Yes, Doctor Who, guys!
Doctor loves that.
Yeah.
He's smashing through a gate in a jeep to avoid a pterodactyl. It's Doctor fucking Who.
You wouldn't get that in Casualty, would you?
No.
Don't get that on Sea here.
Mm. No. We cut back, and the Brigadier is arguing with Wang Chiang.
Yes,
he is.
Wang Chiang, who looks more ethnically ambiguous in this than he does in Wang Chiang.
Yeah, at one point I was going, Persian, maybe? Ecuador?
It's almost you want to go back in time and go, guys, don't... It's almost better. Well, it's definitely better if you don't like put the makeup on him in Wang Chiang and just sort of go, you're not quite sure.
Vaguely from that part
of
the world.
General Finch.
Yeah, General Finch.
Great baddie. Well, we need to talk about it soon.
But, oh, yeah.
Great baddie, but there's also, oh my God, a baddie in this.
Oh
my God.
Oh, yeah.
World shaking.
Yeah.
I know.
So the doctor is being processed and he has his photograph taken.
Oh, and he smiles. Oh, my.
Has he been taking edibles in the TARDIS between... he's having a great time in this one.
Do you think this comes
from the planet Gummy?
This is his last season, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he knows
we're
on the way out. This might even be one of the last ones they filmed, and he was just like, fucking great.
Yeah.
Thank God he was playful with it then, because he could have gone the other way. He could have been all petulant and fed up.
Like another doctor we won't mention.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. He does his mug. He literally mugs for his mugshot.
Yeah. Oh,
so
it's
lovely.
Brilliant.
Even Sarah does. She's like, hiya.
Oh,
she's so sweet.
She's so good.
And it's so fun watching them. Like, even though it's not the most dynamic scene, them having the photograph taken, it's very watchable. They're very fun.
No, it's
to
really
watch,
good.
Isn't it? Yeah. There's a T-Rex.
Yeah.
There's a bloody T-Rex.
And or Allosaurus. Yeah.
Yeah, or Allosaurus.
Terrifying.
Tell you what. Do you think it saw us?
I think it might have done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Benson finds the doctor's picture.
Yes.
Because they're processing the people.
He's processing them.
Yeah. Which I quite like, because then it's almost like the Doctor's smiling at the Brigadier, isn't he? And being like, here I am.
Yes, because before, the Briggs talking to Finch, and Finch going, well, who's this Doctor character you keep saying will help?
Yeah.
And
Briggs
says, I have no idea, I don't even know where he is, but I hope he comes to help us.
When's he coming to help us? And he says, oh, I just don't know.
Yeah.
But he's here already.
Yeah, and I think even Finch says, what, does he suddenly just appear?
Yeah.
And the Briggs goes, something like that.
Oh!
Which is lovely.
So
lovely.
Good. The Doctor finds out he's going to be sentenced and actually he could be in for some serious jail time. So he hatches a plan with another...
Because the guy earlier says, why don't we break out? The Doctor's like, now, see here, we don't do that sort of thing.
No, come on now.
And then when he finds out he might go to jail, he goes, no, you were talking about breaking out.
Hard labour, you say. Yeah. Let's go.
That's what he says. Hey, what was it you were saying?
Oh, my. Then he becomes, despite the fact everyone knows what his accent is because everyone's processed him earlier. And he's been there going, my name is Dr. John Smith.
Yeah, and also, the guy who sat next to him has heard him being like, now see here.
Yeah. And suddenly he's like,
hey, Mike.
Yo, you're bloody now, can't you?
That's a pie of mess, damn it. Damn enough, he's your
I like the fact that to have a fight, you can't be posh and have a fight. You have to be like, yeah, I'll tell you, being
so you can't have that voice when you're dressed like that.
No.
And you look like 1,000 lords. Or some have been collided in the collider. And then,
you go beat the bloody dark.
Anyway, so fucking funny. Yeah. It's really cool, though. Yeah. I love it.
Because then they have a fight, but then they use that to knock the soldier out.
Yes.
And then there's some. And then he karate's the guy he was having a fight with anyway.
Yeah. Because he pulls a gun on him.
Yeah.
He says, no, you're going to come with me. And the doctor's like, no, don't
also,
so.
Is it me that the guard that they end up fighting, is he reading a jazz mag?
He looks like it, doesn't he?
Oh, I think he's reading a jazz mag.
Yeah. Oh, the size of those pterodactyls. Yeah.
And then in a phrase which I think can be attributed to almost every Doctor Who story, they escape, but are quickly recaptured.
Mm. Yes.
Caught immediately, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this when they go in the shed and that man from the past attacks them?
That's in the second bit.
No, that's second. Bit.
Yeah, yeah. Because then they see there's a big T-Rex.
Yeah.
And they're now in the back of the truck to be taken to the processing centre and they see the dinosaur.
T-Rex. End of part one.
End of part one. Yeah.
What a great episode of Doctor Who.
So much fun.
Oh.
Sometimes when you watch these stories, sometimes it can take an episode and a bit to get going. But this one, you're instantly, oh my God, I love this so much. And there's another 5. Brilliant. Can't wait.
Yeah.
And also they go, oh, if you like that, don't worry, it's all going to change in a bit.
We're going to
wrong foot you every time you go, this is fucking good.
Who wrote this one?
Anne Diamond.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got a good Anne Diamond.
She'd do it in between takes on TVAM.
Did Nick Owen help at all?
Oh, it's Malcolm
Nick
Holt,
Owen
wasn't it?
Tried to help, but pointless scribble in the margins. Anne wasn't having any of it.
It was Malcolm Holt because it's got a bit of hippy dippiness about it. Which,
it was Malcolm X.
it's a very good one, Malcolm. Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll follow you anywhere.
I'm just going to check that before we'll get letters. I can't see. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it's Malcolm Holt. Anyway, part two. This is when the Doctor and Sarah escape to the shed and they find the guy lurking there.
Where's he from again?
He's talking about King John.
So he's Robin Hood.
Mm.
Robin Hood time.
The Tens?
Yeah, the Tens.
There's a Tens machine on.
Tens television.
He's from Bo Derek's Ten.
So that's two things that if I'm wrong, then everyone's going to have a go.
He just appears. Disappears,
yeah.
And what a great term. The Doctor says, well, it sort of disappeared in some sort of time eddy.
Oh,
a time eddy. That's a gentle lapping of the tides.
Yeah.
It's a time eddy.
I also like there's a shot that when Sarah's talking, you can see him lurking in the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
Quite it's really scary.
Yeah. So you spot him and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And then you see him move and you're like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
You get the first effect of that kind of time.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Flash Gordon when they're aiming at the beginning.
Mm.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah. I tell you what I wish.
It's like a reverse RKO.
Yeah.
But in red, it's cool.
I wish Brian Blessed would do his catchphrase from Flash Gordon more.
He's never going to do it.
He's never going to do it.
He won't do it.
No.
He just won't do it.
He's a brand of principle, and I respect that. Yeah.
And he keeps very tight lips.
You won't say Boo to a goose.
No.
Subversion, Tom.
That's what I do now.
Yeah, oh my God,
it's like sarcasm.
There was a script once that I wrote that we wanted Brian to be in our show. The show never got made, but in it, he shouts so loud that 6 people in wheelchairs, all the wheelchairs move back. They all look startled. He just goes, what? And they just all move.
Anyway. Would have done it.
Oh, God, he would have done it, yeah.
I think we've lost something as he sort of learned that people like him shouting, is the choir, the quiet one.
It's the way he'll go.
I much prefer.
I've worked with the fucker, so.
Hey, yeah. Lovely stuff.
For 4 years.
What was that on?
Mr. Sheep Pup. He was my dad. We were dogs.
Not alive, Paul.
I don't mean off air. We were dogs. it was all set on a farm and we were doing voices for animals. Me, Mel Gedroy, Juno Stubbs.
What?
Blessed.
Did she bring her out? No.
Did she go via IKEA? No, she did not. And of course, the lovely Dirk Jacobi narrating.
Oh, wonderful.
And he was when I was doing it, season 3 at the time, he'd just done his Doctor Who. And I was like, lucky sometimes to get to the recording studio. Mm. And I'd just catch the end of whoever was on before me. Yeah. So often it was Mel, sometimes Una. If it was Brian, you'd be like, holy shit, I'm going to get there half hour early.
Yeah,
just
to
see him in the booth going, did I get it fucking wrong? Little bit, Brian. Anyway, Derek was there, and of course I had to ask him about Doctor.
Yeah.
And I went, you know, what's it like? And he went, it's so wonderful doing children's telly. And I gave him fucking daggers.
He punched him, didn't you?
Punched him. I punched his sir off him. He was just Derek Jacobi by the time I finished with him.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
What a life.
He fell into a coma.
So.
What, Shinja brackets? What?
So they're in the. The Doctor pushes Sarah, which is, I think, he's play for laughs. I think he's all right.
It is play for laughs.
Yeah, because they're hiding. And he's about to knock out the Brigadier, but then he spots his Brigadier, and they're on Pertwee. I don't know what's happening.
My dear old chap.
Yeah, he's like just so full of charm, isn't he? He's so charming.
Because he knows he's leaving.
Yeah.
Then they should have told you he was leaving like 3 seasons ago. And he wouldn't have killed Joe in every episode.
The Doctor's introduced to General Finch, a.k.a. Wang Chiang.
Notice the Doctor has 4 sugars in his tea.
Love it.
Four sugars being spooned in his tea.
If Pertwee can make a fun choice in this, he will, won't he? Like, everything is like, where can I have fun? What can I do that's silly or weird?
It's all this stuff you sort of expect Tom to be doing.
Yeah.
But he's now doing them. And you're like, this is lovely.
Well, we've got a bit coming up, which I'll just... Then they run into a Stegosaurus.
They do.
Yeah, and that's very exciting. I like
the Stegosaurus looks great.
Stegosaurus is the best looking one.
It
moves the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the dinosaurs, it's also the models of the location as well, which I think don't get enough credit. Because they look really good.
The Stegosaurus out of all 3 of them also looks the most sullen. He's always like...
Well, and the doctor says, don't worry, he's a veggie.
Yeah, but he also looks at them like, I don't like
I don't like being in London.
I liked it better when I was in the trees.
He's like, come closer and I'll tell you a tale. He's like Captain Satan of the dinosaurs.
He's doing laps of London.
Dinosaurs. Oh, no.
It was only a couple of minutes ago. I was in the Jurassic age, munching on a fern, and now here I am. I don't know where I am. All I can see is Timpsons. Do you ask the butchers? Don't know what that is. Woolies.
But you can read.
Oh, yes, I'm quite a learned dinosaur. Right. Comes with a price, though.
Well, of course.
Back in their little office, which I also love the set of this office.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I love this little
school.
It's the school, isn't it?
Because there's loads of pictures on the walls that the kids have drawn.
Yes, and there's like a diagram of an eye for some reason.
Yes. Yeah. What?
Now, say attention, children. This morning we'll be learning about the human eye. As you can see, I have drawn this elaborate picture on the wall. What? Oh, apparently we're being evacuated. Oh, sir, we wanted to learn about the eye. I'm sorry.
Oh, looks like you'll never know anything about the eye.
Goodbye. Mike Yates is acting weird.
Oh, no, listen, I'm quite upset about this.
I love Mike Yates, as you know. I just love him, but this is not on Mike Yates.
I know.
Mike Great Sex is...
Mike Great Sex Yates.
is having a... is acting very strange.
I forgot about all that.
Mike Great Sex.
Great Sex, Mike.
Thanks.
So... and the Doctor plans to catch a Stegosaurus. Cut to 2 characters we've not seen before.
No.
Oh yeah.
Immediately you're involved because it's only Peter Mars and Martin Jarvis.
All the best, Martin Jarvis.
Well, I've written here all the best, Stegosaurus.
Oh, that's nice.
It's got the same cadence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you do it?
All the best. Oh. Stegosaurus. Oh, sorry. All the best, Martin Jarvis. The Stegosaurus. Sorry, I don't know what you want me to do.
Do you think all the best, Martin Jarvis, but say Stegosaurus instead of Martin Jarvis?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. All the best, Stegosaurus.
There you go. Good. There you go.
Look, I'm a damn actor. I just need to know exactly what to do.
I'm sorry, I'm a bad director. But yeah, Martin Jarvis looking like an absolute fuck machine.
Oh my
God, he looks beautiful.
Well, you've got
beautiful.
The two, the
burnished hair. Conquer.
Oh. And Whitaker must be next to him thinking, I look like a right rum old piece of shit.
Yeah, he's like, what's your fucking shower regime? Because mine's just rolling in shit. What are you doing?
Oh, I look like I've been up all night wanking.
Well,
you look like you've been up all night shagging.
You know Jarvis's character, like, because London's been abandoned. You know he's down in Mayfair, broken into a house, and he's living the fucking high life.
Yeah.
Brandy and cigars after every shift.
He's living in the Playboy Club.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yak wallpaper.
Yeah. You know he is having like beef bourguignon every night.
Beef burgers, non. Nom nom.
Yeah, nom nom on the burgers.
Proud he is of that.
There's two extremes here because you've got Peter Mars's Como, greasy Como.
Greasy right, Como.
Greasy old scientist.
Yeah, and then you've got Martin Jarvis's mane of hair.
Yeah, he's that. And look at me, I've just done an all the best Littlewoods catalogue.
That voice as well.
I know.
Oh, he must have got some serious puss. Why did I just
poor MJ. As I said, I always drop in whenever he appears in Doctor Who. Have worked with the fella.
Yeah.
Absolute joy. And I'll say again what I said there. Smells of very expensive soap. That is the...
You did say that, yeah.
Yeah.
What a lovely man. Oh. What a lovely man.
I bet he smells like Lush.
Yeah,
he's Lush. A whole branch of Lush.
To be honest, when I've been in, it's a little bit overpowering.
Do you? But it was perfectly pitched, his...
That musk that he exudes.
And just like you're in the presence of like, you're safe. You know, you feel safe.
Yes.
Imagine getting a hug off the man.
Oh!
Bathing in that odour. Nice odour.
I think you could be like at death's door, but Jarvis and Havers come up on different sides. And they just cradle you and you go... It's all right now.
It's all right. Don't worry.
I'm between a Havers and a Jarvis.
Then we've got Doctor making his dinosaur knockout machine.
Yes, he's building machine, and everyone's talking to him, and he's like, "Will you fuck off? I'm busy."
Oh, this is a great bit.
Oh my, because it's a little scene that's built around sort of, it's almost like a sketch.
Everyone
isn't
disturbing
it?
Him, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's that
he locks the doors, and then they come in another door. He's like, for God's
and he
sake.
Says that face that you see as a gif quite a lot.
Yeah,
it's brilliant because he basically tells Yates to go. No, he tells Benton to go away.
Yeah,
tells Sarah Jane to go away.
Yeah,
locks the door.
Locks the door,
and then the Brigadier comes in another door.
So funny! It's like
and
a bedroom
fast. Same thing. What are you up to, Doctor?
Yeah. And whenever I see that that gif out of context, I always think, "Oh, he's being mind bothered."
Yes,
I always forget
so
the context.
Yes,
and he's being. And
he's
it's
accidentally
not.
Turned his own machine on.
It's he's just angry.
Just angry, because
and I love how he sizes up Finch within 2 seconds.
Oh yeah, he knows what he's dealing with there, doesn't he?
I think you're a filthy rotter.
And then we're introduced to. Oh, hi everyone, Sir Charles Grover. Super Grover.
We from the Ministry.
Grover, right? Mm. What is he? Because he's kind of like
he's from the Ministry.
No. I mean, in Sesame Street.
Obviously.
Yeah.
He's not Gonzo.
He's not.
He's also not Elmo.
He's sort of like because people always make the mistake, don't they? And they go like they think that Gonzo's in Sesame Street, which he's not.
No.
So he's a bit like a sanitized Gonzo for Sesame Street, isn't he?
I think Gonzo's his dad.
Oh, maybe.
And he had sex with a normal man.
What species is he?
He's like just a monster, isn't he? He's not like
run of the mill monster.
Who Gonzo or Grover?
Grover.
Grover's just a Muppet man.
Yeah.
Right.
Child.
Yeah.
He looks like half Gonzo, half chimpanzee.
Okay.
He's got the long arms, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a big long arm. Yeah. So do you think Gonzo one night was like, I'm fed up of chickens. I'm gonna fuck a chimp. And then Grover came out.
Yeah.
And he's named after where he was conceived. In a grove.
In a grove.
In a biker grove.
On biker grove.
While Jeff watched. Oh, I don't know about this Gonzo.
I don't know what's going on here, Pep, but this chimpanzee's just laid a muppet. Sorry, I don't think you name Muppet. Do they come out of eggs? Be nice if they did. Be nice if they did.
They're not humans. They're not mammals.
They're not human.
We're at a stage of civilization where someone's just said a chimpanzee just laid
a muppet.
A sentence never before said.
Please, please, everyone, put that on my grave. Here lies Paul Litchfield. He thought chimpanzees laid muppets.
Oh, it's sort of like it's like covered in amniotic fluid.
Breaking out of the amniotic sac, blood everywhere and white goo. And
Chip just then, lying back exhausted.
Chip's ripped anus and cloaca.
Chips don't have cloaca.
Sorry. Mine do.
It's birds.
Yeah. And then it's like.
Mine do, my chip. Chip in my chimp bird museum.
Super Grover.
Yeah. So do you think Jeff took Grover and deposited him at Sesame Street to so
I
he'd
think
be raised?
Beautiful.
Threw him out the back of a car window in a sack.
When he saw them making love, I think his moustache went straight.
Gonzo's very much like the Dwight York of Muppets. He's not contributed to his maintenance at all.
Dwight York of Muppets.
Another sentence.
Oh, God.
There you go. That's that dealt with. So, here's the thing. Mike Yates.
Well, I love Mike Yates.
Oh, no.
Mike, what are you doing? Now, he's an eco-warrior hippie terrorist.
I'm assuming we never see Mike Yates again.
We do.
Planet of the Spiders.
Oh,
but I asked Tom about this before we went on air. What's the sort of, and he becomes a monk. He sort of like goes to repent and gets involved in Planet of the Spiders.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Mike, why Mike?
Mike, why?
I mean, I slightly get what he's trying to do, but these aren't the people to...
Come on.
Do you know what? Kind of cool writing, though, isn't it, to make one of UNIT be...
Absolutely.
Kind of really good
brave
to do that.
As fuck, because they're a little tight
Benton,
family unit.
Yeah. Benton wouldn't. No fucking way. Benton doesn't give a remote shit about
I think
eco
Benton
issues.
Has secretly been doing lots of like traitorous things, but just doesn't know.
Yeah.
I think Benton's more likely been nicking cups and toilet rolls.
Definitely.
You go to his house, like the Brigadier goes, can I use your toilet, Benton? He's like, yeah. And he goes in there, and the toilet paper's all got UNIT written on it. Benton, have you been stealing toilet roll? I already borrowed it.
Brick comes around and Benton's having a cup of tea. He has to keep his hand over the mouth. There's a Jeep outside in his garden.
But she's crossed out UNIT and written Benton on it. Well, can't be one of us.
It's written Benton on it. He's trying to incorporate units and it's a boonit.
Boonit.
Cock piss Benton on the.
Oh dear. Anyway, I used to love Mike Yates, but God, Mike.
Oh, heaven's sake.
It's genuinely quite heartbreakingly sad.
Yeah.
It's like something you might have seen in like your Game of Thrones or something, where someone you've been following for a long time
suddenly becomes a baddie.
Yeah.
Because
he's not only that, so we know what he's doing, but also he sabotages the doctor's gun, which puts him in mortal danger.
And the one thing he says, I mean, let's give him, is it in this where he goes, look, I've got this cause. We don't find out what it is yet.
Yeah.
I will do everything to stop the doctor, but I don't want him harmed.
Yes.
Yeah, he does say
that.
I don't want him harmed.
I've got this.
And then sabotages his gun, so he will get harmed.
He will get harmed.
Yeah.
I've got this
weird
cause album. And I
and this can of cause.
Yeah.
I like cause.
Because things that are cause. I like finishing apples.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's it.
I'm digging a hole into the center of the earth.
Who doesn't like
come
that?
Come on, we're all a demon for that. So yes, then a T-Rex appears. End of part two.
Oh my god. Oh my goodness.
Well, the doctor tries to shoot it and realizes something's going wrong, and he sort of cowers behind a wall, like.
And you want to help because you can see the thing Yates put on the front, the little silver disc that stops it working. You want to reach in and grab it off.
Yeah.
The little magnet thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like a fat washer that you put on the tap. Like an overweight washer.
Well, washerwoman. Do we do some correspondence?
We do some correspondence.
Yeah.
To sort of break it up. And
so I'll do there's quite a lot. So
everyone's saying that dinosaurs look shit.
Horizon Review says, not seen it, heard it's shit.
Well, come on, guys.
Thank you very much.
Come on.
Thanks a lot, Anne Rand.
Ben Thomas says, of course I'm going to mention the fucking dinosaurs. You literally can't avoid them. They're even in the title, apart from episode one, which was just called Invasion, to avoid spoiling the surprise. In big, fat, inverted commas, the initial plan was to bring the dinosaurs to life with stop-motion animation until some bright spark pointed out this require a surfeit of two things Doctor Who never had, time and money.
Yeah.
So they decided to shoddily green screen in some ship puppets operated with all the manual dexterity of Abu Hanza. A shame, as the rest of the story is great. The plot twists and turns, the deserted London is creepy, and Mike Yates' heel turn is genuinely thrilling.
Okay. Again, see Macro Beast. Yeah. 22 years later.
Andrew F. says, a really decent story burdened by subpar special effects. Some people say the dinosaurs should be updated with CGI for Blu-ray, but if they did that, it would just be Invasion of the Dinosaurs. It wouldn't be Invasion of the Dinosaurs anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tim Coleman says, Invasion of the Dinosaurs, the one that makes Jurassic Park look like Jurassic Park. some nice twists, but plus Carmen Silvera, which we haven't got to yet.
Yeah.
But it's 6 parts long, so after sitting on the sofa for all that time, I had a megasaurus.
Oh, very nice.
25 out of 100. Edith, you stupid woman. Blah, blah, blah. Joe Short says, bloody love it.
Thank you.
In 1974, age 4, I missed the final episode as I had to go to my second cousin's wedding.
Boo.
I look suitably miserable in the photo. Wish I'd punched the bride like Benton does General Finch. 100, who needs Jurassic Park when we've got this out of 100?
Oh, I can so picture a 4-year-old Joe just going up to the bride and going, bitch! So I wanted to watch Doctor Who.
Yeah. Graham Dallas says, I've seen more convincing dinosaurs given away with a packet of Wheaty Flakes.
Oh, well, yeah.
And yeah, I'll leave it there for now.
Fair enough. Well, that is episodes 1 and 2 of Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, as we're breaking this one up, so we'll continue with episodes 3 and 4 very soon.
That's my dinosaur impression.
Oh, should I do a dinosaur impression?
Go on then.
We should leave the EU.
Oh, done it again. Shit! How can you top that?
Raw.
Goodbye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.